Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough and sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. At Ferguson, service is our most important part. So if service is the part you're missing from your supply house, come into one of our 600 nationwide locations and let our team help yours. Whether it's tracking down those hard-to-find parts, having your order ready and waiting at our will call, or helping you manage your inventory with our SKU app and online ordering, the edge every trade professional needs is right around the corner. And with Ferguson Pro Plus, you'll earn redeemable points with every online purchase. Come into one of our locations or visit Ferguson.com today.
Earnhardt remains confident heading into the Final Five. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Motor Racing Network has always been your source for motorsports coverage when you couldn't be at the track. Now, never miss another minute of our breathtaking coverage with the MRN app, available on your iPhone or Android device. This free app delivers all the latest news, locates nearby MRN stations, streams your favorite programs, and is your home for live cup practice and qualifying action. Search MRN in the App Store or on Google Play. It's the Motor Racing Network at your fingertips, and it's available for free right now.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough and sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Dale Earnhardt Jr. finished 7th at Talladega on Sunday in a race that many believed might be the final race he would have a shot at winning before his retirement from NASCAR's Premier Series next month. But Earnhardt believes otherwise heading into the final five races of his career.
We know we have one at some of these tracks coming up, and you just go in there with that good attitude and see how the weekend works out for you. And that, you know, I don't think that we've lost hope on winning a race by any means, but we'll go in there with solid attitude and see how it works out for us.
Earnhardt and the rest of the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series drivers head to the Kansas Speedway this weekend. And congratulations to Earnhardt and wife Amy as the couple announced that they are expecting their first child. See more now at MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back. Hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming your way from the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. KGYM's three frequencies serving you the fine program this evening. 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency. Jose Altuve has walked to load the bases for Carlos Correa in the sixth inning at Yankee Stadium, and my apologies to our next guest. We're probably taking at least one eye off of the American League Championship Series for him, but Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com joins us right now. And Ed, let's go ahead and get started with the series that's currently continuing at Yankee Stadium, the Astros and the Yankees. New York was able to get into the win column last night, but the more and more I watch this Astros team, it's pretty clear that they may be, along with the Dodgers, one of the two best teams remaining in the postseason.
I think so. And the amazing thing for the Astros so far in the ALCS, the offense has disappeared with the exception of Altuve and Correa. But they've had very solid pitching. McCullers is throwing a shutout so far today. So with the combination of Keuchel, Verlander, and today McCullers, starting pitching does still make a difference.
Are you worried at all about the offensive outage so far in the NLCS for the Astros?
I'm sorry, you were cutting out there. What was the question again?
I was asking you if you were worried at all about the offensive outage so far in the NLCS with the Houston Astros.
Not really, because the Yankees aren't doing much better. I mean, unless there are two outs, the Yankees can't hit. So I think given the fact that the Astros have a little bit more solid starting pitching, and they at least have two guys who are performing above value in Altuve and Correa, I don't think the rest of the lineup going outage is really going to concern them, because the Yankees aren't doing much better. I mean, take a look right now. Each team has one hit.
What is it about the postseason where it just seems to bring about an offensive drought for a lot of teams? The Astros, as you mentioned, for the most part, the Cubs are going through one. It can't just be the better pitching.
I think, well, it's not so much the better pitching, it's that you're getting different looks. I read a stat today that going into today's games, today's action, 62% of the starting pitchers have pitched five innings or less. So what that means is that you're only getting two looks at the starter pitcher. Then after that, you're facing a new pitcher each and every time. And there's an old adage that I love as far as hitting, is that average major league hitters make the adjustments after the at-bat. Great major league hitters make the adjustments during the at-bat. And we can just take a look. There aren't that many great major league hitters. So most of the hitters you're facing are going to be average. And if they're making their adjustments after the at-bat, but that's the only at-bat they're going to face that pitcher, it's almost like pushing that rock up the hill and having it just slide back onto you. So I think the combination is, it's not so much it's better pitching, it's that you're getting different looks every at-bat, and it just makes it very difficult for the hitter to adjust when you're facing a different look each and every at-bat.
Ed, we'll get into the NLCS in just a second, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. We've seen, not just with the Chicago Cubs, we've seen it, it feels like more than we have in the past, starters being used as relievers and not just in elimination games. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think when we're taking a look at it, it's usually who your fifth starter is going to be. So what you want to do is you just want, you know, it's really tough to tell a John Lackey you're not on the postseason roster, or in years before, Jason Hamill. So if you, and I think right now Kenta Maeda is filling that role with the Dodgers. So you have a fifth starter who is a good arm, but because you don't need five starters in a short series, you still want to use them. And I think a lot of times with the quick hooks that we're seeing, again, 62% of the starts have gone five innings or less. You need to bridge until you get to your closer and your setup man. So I think a guy who's your fifth starter who can give you two, maybe three innings and bridge it from the starter to those shut down relievers at the back end of the bullpen, I think it just adds more value to it. And I think, again, and we've talked about this in the past this season, I think the new money ball aspect is going to be this Johnny Holstaff approach, where you have shorter starts from your relievers, bulk up the back end of your bullpen, where you have relievers being able to pitch multiple innings, and again, take that where the hitters have fewer and fewer looks at one pitcher at a time. And I think, again, it just shows you how it suppresses the offense.
Ed Creech joining us from MLBTradeRumors.com. Nobody, I think, has done a better job of relying on the bullpen and managing it as well as Dave Roberts has for the Dodgers, and that's a big reason why the Cubs are in an 0-2 hole. Let's switch from the Cubs from the Dodgers to the Cubs, and the obvious question here is Joe Maddon coming under a lot of scrutiny for how he's handled his bullpen in this series. Do you think that criticism is warranted?
No, because I think he's really working with a shorthanded bullpen. Who should come in for criticism is Carl Edwards Jr. and Montgomery. Both of them have been flamethrowers as far as they're dousing gas on whatever fire they enter the game in. Carl Edwards can't throw a strike to save his life. He was going every other appearance in the NLDS. You know, first one would be good. The second one, he'd walk everybody and they would come around to score. Game three, he was a little bit better, but game four and five, again, the walks have been his Achilles heel. Same thing for Montgomery. So if you have a short bullpen, I mean, Maddon's only carrying 11 pitchers in this series. So you have the four starters, seven bullpen, including Lackey. So you only have six true relievers. If two of those six true relievers you can't trust in Edwards and Montgomery, it really does shorten up the bullpen. Add to that, Maddon got a lot of heat after game two for not throwing Wade Davis in that ninth inning. But then again, Davis was on a limited pitch count because he had to get seven outs in that decisive game five against the Nationals. So in essence, in game two, you're really down half your bullpen. Davis couldn't pitch multiple innings. You don't trust Edwards or Montgomery. That's why you kind of had to rely on Lackey in that situation.
Having said all that, is Wade Davis, in your opinion, the only reliever that Joe Maddon trusts at this point?
Yes. And I think Strope. So I think in an optimal world, he would love to have his starters go 6-7 innings to get to Strope in the eighth and then Davis in the ninth. Maybe if they can get 6 innings, then you can split those final 9 outs between Strope and Davis, 4-1, 5, the other, however you want to work it. But I think those are really the only two relievers that he can trust in the bullpen, plus Dunsing. Dunsing has really done a nice job. He walked, which came around to score the winning run in the ninth inning in game two. But Dunsing's been really solid. So I think between those three guys, those are the three guys he trusts. However, it's really tough to rely on just simply three guys game in, game out, even in a short series.
Ed Creech joining us. We should mention the Astros have taken a 3-0 lead on the Yankees here. For the Cubs tonight, it's Ben Zobrist batting atop the lineup and Kyle Schwarber hitting in the two-hole in left field. Is this going to be a good thing for the Cubs tonight, or is this going to come back to possibly haunt them, in your opinion, if you had to guess?
I don't think so. I think Maddon needs to shake up the lineup. And the good thing going in the Cubs' favor tonight is they've always fared better against right-handers, and they've got Darvish on the mound tonight. So you're going to want to stack it against left-handers. Schwarber's hit up that top before when he was having his good when he was playing well in 2015. He was hitting 1-2 in the lineup. Maddon's also used Brian in those early spots in the lineup. So I think what you want to do is try to get guys who can get on base against Darvish, Zobrist, Schwarber, have that power, try to, you know, you're back at the friendly confines, stack the lineup against, with left-handers. The problem with the Cubs are they do well against right-handers, but after Darvish tonight, it's nothing but lefties. You've got Wood in game four, then Kershaw and Hill to round it out. So this is the do-or-die game for the Cubs. If they don't win this one, this is going to look a lot like the 2015 LCS when the Mets swept the Cubs in four.
There's been a lot of talk about the difference between the 2016 Cubs and then this year's Cubs. How much does Javier Baez and Mike Montgomery kind of underscore that? Two guys who played such a huge role in that World Series championship last year, really struggling this year.
I think more so Montgomery than Baez, because I think the offensive struggles for the Cubs is 1-9, to be honest with you. But Montgomery, when he was pitching well that in the postseason in 2016, what Montgomery gives you is length. This is a guy who can go two, maybe even three innings in a relief bullpen. And so, again, if you want to go Arrieta for four innings, you can bring Montgomery in to pitch two. That gives you through the seventh, and that kind of sets up your bullpen to go the rest of the way, especially when you had a Chapman bumping everybody back last year. Again, if Montgomery can give you multiple innings, and again, 2016, then you had Strope, Rondon, and Chapman to kind of set the table for you at the back end of the bullpen. You're not that deep this year. And, again, if your two key cogs in Edwards and Montgomery aren't pitching up to expectations, that just really handcuffs what Maddon wants to do in the bullpen. Now, Baez, on the other hand, I think he's a very emotional player, and if he can get hot, that gives a lot of spark to the team. And I think that's what they're trying to do by putting the left-handers at the top of the lineup. But again, you take a look at what Chris Bryant has done, not just in this series, but throughout the postseason, he struggled. So you need to have your big guns produce, and right now the Cubs haven't had that.
What's your gut feeling on how this series draws to a conclusion, Ed?
I think tonight is going to be the swing game for the Cubs. I think if they win tonight, they have a little breath in them. But again, you take a look at how bad the Cubs have historically been against left-handers, and after tonight, it's Wood, Kershaw, and Hill. So I think right now for the Cubs, it's either are you going to be swept or are you going to lose in five? Because I really do not see this series going back to L.A.
So are we looking at a Houston-Los Angeles World Series then?
I think that's how this is breaking down right now. And if that's how it goes, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think the Dodgers have a little bit more depth to their rotation. They have a shutdown bullpen. But Houston, they hit well in the ALDS. They have struggled here in the ALCS. It'll be interesting to see which offensive Astro team, if they do reach the World Series, comes to play.
Ed, there have been some managerial rumors already swirling, some teams possibly having to make a decision on who their next manager will be before the World Series starts. So I'll just ask you right here, is Ron Gardenhire going to be a manager next season?
No. I don't think so. It seems like the two top candidates in Boston are going to be Alex Cora and Brad Ausmus. Let me qualify what I just said about Gardenhire. I think the linchpin is going to be this: what happens with Dusty Baker with the Nationals? If the Nationals try to go the cheap route in contract negotiations with Dusty and he gets fed up and walks away, I think Gardenhire would be a perfect fit for Washington. But other than that, maybe with the Mets, but they may want to go younger there. I don't see him being a fit in Philadelphia. Gardenhire does relate well to the younger players, but I think Klentak wants somebody more his age grouping in Philadelphia. And I do not see Gardenhire wanting to experience his last three seasons in Minnesota doing the same thing with the Tigers in their rebuild. So I think the best shot for Gardenhire to manage would be with the Mets, unless Dusty Baker and the Nationals can't come to terms on a new contract. And I think Gardenhire would be a perfect fit for the Nationals.
Mickey Callaway, the pitching coach for the Indians, is getting a lot of love. Do you see him maybe getting his first crack to manage somewhere?
If I was Sandy Alderson with the Mets, I would go after Callaway. I think he has the same pedigree as Bud Black, and I think considering that the backbone of that Mets franchise is their pitching staff, I think having somebody who is well-respected pitching coach like Callaway, I think he could do wonders with that Mets staff. But then again, if you can't keep them healthy, it doesn't make a difference how good your coaching is. If they can't go every fifth day, you're in trouble. But I think Callaway would be an interesting fit with the Mets, considering their pitching depth. And I think he could have the similar success of what we've seen with Bud Black in Colorado.
You brought it up just a second ago when we were talking about Ron Gardenhire, but if you were Mike Rizzo, would you bring Dusty Baker back?
Yes. Because they're really, I'm not a Dusty Baker fan. I don't think he's ever going to win you a World Series, but at least he gives you the opportunity because he's an excellent manager through a 162 game season. There are some players who can manage the regular season that fade in the postseason. There are some players who excel in the postseason that kind of just get by in the regular season. I think you see that more in basketball, in the NBA, where the true talent rises to the fore in the postseason and kind of coasts through the grind of a regular season. But with Dusty Baker, I think he's an excellent in-season, regular season manager. But if I had somebody in the postseason, it wouldn't be Dusty. Having said that, I think way the clubhouse is with the Nationals, I think he's a good fit for them because the question is going to be, who's your alternative for Mike Rizzo? The Lerner family is notoriously cheap in paying their managers. Regelman quit mid-year because of it. Bud Black turned down the job because he felt he was being underpaid. And I think that is repeating itself with Dusty Baker. He took a below-market value signing a two-year, $4 million contract and managed the Nationals because he was desperate to get back into the game. And now that he's shown, even at 68, he can still manage a team to a division title, I think he wants to get paid. I think Baker is a manager who equates respect to what his money is. And if the Lerner family doesn't want to pony up for it, I think Baker will walk.
I had completely forgotten about the Bud Black to Washington rumors until you just mentioned that now, Ed. Before we leave you tonight, Giancarlo Stanton's name is coming up. He's going to be the speculation or subject of a lot of speculation this offseason. And I know we've talked a little bit about him before, but is the fact that we're still hearing his name being connected to different teams maybe an indication that this new ownership group of the Marlins could be a little bit more open to moving him than perhaps everybody first thought?
Well, I think it's the wind beneath the rumors for Stan is based on the fact that Jeter has publicly stated they want to get down to about a $90 million payroll. And unless you're a federal government accountant, there's no way you can do that without getting rid of Stanton's salary. So I think that's part of it. I think all the part of it is I think it's just wishful thinking on other teams' parts. If you can't trade Stanton or are unwilling to trade Stanton, that means you have to gut the team around him, and that's going to leave him a very unhappy camper. But again, there are very few teams that, if this is going to be seen as a straight salary dump, one, you're getting off on the wrong foot with the Marlin fan base. It's going to be Jeffrey Loria, a part two. Second, other teams know that if you're trading Stanton, it's because you want to do a salary dump. So they're not going to pony up the prospects you need if they're going to absorb the salary. But then again, there's not very many teams that can absorb that salary for the remainder of the term on Stanton's contract. So I think the Marlins are really in a catch-22. I think they're maybe wishful thinking for them wanting to get down to $90 million. I think they're going to have to increase that. And I think they're going to have to do what the Dodgers did in the first 5 years of their new ownership with the Gungenhagen Group. You're going to have to run a deficit until you get things situated the way you want in order to get your blueprint down so you can have a financially secure future. I think that's what the Marlins are going to have to do. They're not going to have, you know, $150, $180 payroll, but I think you are going to have a payroll in the 120s, 130s until you can get your ownership group, get their feet on the ground. What kind of capitalization does Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter have? I'm not quite sure, but there's no way you can be a competitive team having Stanton on the payroll at $90 million. And if that means that's going to be a fire sale for Ozuna, Yelich, and Real Muto, even Justin Bour, and I don't think the fan base is going to cotton to that. That would be a very short-lived honeymoon for Derek Jeter in Miami.
One last thing before we part ways, Ed, and you can get back to watching the Astros and the Yankees, which I'm sure you're probably doing even while you're talking to us. Do you put any stock into this story that surfaced about Major League Baseball looking at possibly expanding to 32 teams and what that would possibly do for the league and divisional format?
They're going to have I think Rob Manfred would like to expand, but I don't think that's going to be a top priority for them right now. I think they have other issues, especially the pace of play. That seems to be his pet project. If you expand to 32, there's always going to be the question of, you know, how much talent is there to go for those two extra teams? At what point do you max out? Also, do you have teams that can sustain a major league franchise, that have a ballpark ready to go? And in the past, with Selleck and now Manfred, their attitude towards expansion was, until we get our current 30 teams in an excellent stadium situation, they're not going to talk about expansion. Right now, Oakland has taken a step back. They still haven't found their preferred site yet. There's still negotiations there. Same thing in St. Pete. They're having to take a second and third look at the sites they want for Tampa. So I think until Oakland actually moves into a new stadium and Tampa has a site that can increase their revenues, I don't think you're going to see expansion. Now, maybe relocation for Tampa and Oakland, that I think is going to be more likely than expanding to 32 teams anytime in the near future.
All right, Ed, we appreciate it very much, and I think the next time that we'll be talking with you, it'll be right in the middle of the World Series, I think.
Yeah, that's right, Halloween Eve. I can't wait for it.
All right, we'll save you a Snickers bar. Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. Thanks, as always.
Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
We'll just have to put it a postage due. We won't tell Ed that. We'll just send it and not put any stamps on the outside of the envelope. Expansion. I don't know how familiar people are with this. I read a lot of baseball stories that people probably never even would come across in a million years, but I know it was mentioned by Brett Taylor on Bleacher Nation, which is a very popular Cubs website, and Portland is getting thrown around as a possibility. A couple other cities, Montreal continues to be discussed, and then you've got this idea that if you go to 32, then you basically almost get rid of the American and National Leagues, or at least the divisions, and go to four-team, I mean, very similar to other sports, obviously. But I think that's a little bit of a pipe dream right now. And like Ed said, you've got situations in Tampa and Oakland and a few other situations that aren't exactly stable. You've got to make sure that everything is in line with those franchises before you look at expanding. And you know what? I'm just going to come out and say this right now, but you're worried about pace of play if you're Major League Baseball. You know what's going to make the games longer is diluting the talent level. We already see that. There's not enough good pitching in the major leagues. And you're going to add two more teams and dilute the talented pitching pool that much further? Sorry, it's not going to be the solution to your problem. Weaker play is never the solution to a stronger league.
I always thought that Portland would be a good city to have a Major League Baseball team. I just wonder about those situations that you brought up. What would Oakland and Tampa Are those two cities going to... He was talking about the situation, and I guess I wasn't completely privy to it, but are those two situations in danger of losing a team?
No, Oakland, they now have the plan in place to build a new ballpark, and
right.
Tampa is just, it's not working out there. They either need a new ballpark, which I don't think they're even close to talking about getting, or they need to move somewhere. People have been talking about relocating the Rays to Montreal. There are only so many markets that can support major league franchises in the four major sports. And I think baseball's kind of tapped out. Portland had a AAA team and didn't even support, they were the Portland Beavers, longtime affiliate of the Minnesota Twins and the San Diego Padres. And they wound up, they were owned by the same team that owns the Portland Timbers of the MLS. And they chose to boot the baseball team and turn the stadium into the full-time home for the soccer team. So you're going to try to convince me that Portland would embrace baseball enough to support a franchise? No, I'm not buying it. I'm not. I'd almost put a third team in New York again, like the old days, before I would try it in some minor league market like Nashville or Portland. 319-366-1600. That three-run Astros lead, by the way, came via a bases-clearing double by Yulieski Gurriel. It is still 3-0. They've now moved to the top of the seventh inning at Yankee Stadium. So Houston, 9 outs away from claiming a 3-1 advantage over the Yankees. And that would be tough to come back from if you're Joe Girardi, who I do believe is safe going into next season. Had they not advanced past the Indians, his job security probably would have been called into question. But you look at what Joe Girardi has done with the Yankees. He's one of the better managers in baseball. He probably doesn't get enough credit for it because of where he's currently managing. We talk about weakening Major League Baseball. Maybe you feel like you're not quite as strong as you once were. Something is missing out. Maybe you want to do anything that you can to get back to your former self. Dieting isn't quite working. You're trying and looking for all the answers. It could be something known as low testosterone or low T. Well, a website that you may be interested in checking out is lowtusa.com. It's going to tell you all about a new local men's health clinic called Mantality, located in North Liberty. They are completely covered by your insurance. They have fully staffed by board-certified physicians, and they can treat you not just for low testosterone, but a number of maladies that you may suffer from being a man. If you do find out that low testosterone is what's causing some of your issues, well, the good news is not only is it treatable, but they have a 90% success rate regardless of your health. So even if you're not in tip-top shape, this could help you feel like a much younger, more virile version of yourself. And if they get you on the treatment plan, everything is sent right to you. No need to go to the pharmacy or go back to the office to pick up prescriptions, nothing like that. The first time that you go in, your very first appointment, they check you over for everything. So maybe they find something that's wrong with you that you weren't even aware of. I hate to say it, it could save your life. You never know. LowTUSA.com, Mantality. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below.
Yep, they're that tough.
So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone.
Let's get you what you need. Get in the zone.
AutoZone. At Ferguson, service is our most important part. So if service is the part you're missing from your supply house, come into one of our 600 nationwide locations and let our team help yours. Whether it's tracking down those hard-to-find parts, having your order ready and waiting at our will call, or helping you manage your inventory with our SKU app and online ordering, the edge every trade professional needs is right around the corner. And with Ferguson Pro Plus, you'll earn redeemable points with every online purchase. Come into one of our locations or visit Ferguson.com today.
Boom! Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
6:32, better late than never. Let's send it over to Kyle Mann. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Big Ten preseason media poll was released today, and they think Iowa will finish 8th in the conference behind Maryland, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and pegged Michigan State as the favorite to win the title, led by preseason conference player of the year Miles Bridges, and then followed by Purdue, Minnesota, and Northwestern. Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and he said running back James Butler practiced today for the first time since hyperextending his elbow against North Texas last month. He won't be ready for this week, but could play soon, likely wearing an elbow brace. Steve Prohm also spoke today at Iowa State's media day. He says this year's basketball team has different strengths than years past, and they may do more cutting and driving as opposed to shooting. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were posted for the final week of the regular season. Iowa City West now sits atop Class 4A after unseating West Des Moines Dowling, who'd held the spot all year and now sits in second. Cedar Falls is 6th. Cedar Rapids Prairie sneaks in at 10. Unbeaten Xavier still reigns in Class 3A, and Solon is 3rd. Mount Vernon is 3rd in Class 2A, and Williamsburg 6th. And in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina still lurks at 3rd. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Game 3 from Chicago. Yu Darvish will start for the Dodgers opposite Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. That game's set to start at 8, but coverage will start right after the show, and you can hear it on all three KGYM frequencies.
Happy NBA opening day, especially if you are a fan of any team other than the Chicago Bulls. This is absolutely fascinating to me. There was an altercation between two players at practice today. Bobby Portis and Nicholas Mirotić, and it ended with Mirotić being treated for a concussion, and was it an orbital bone fracture?
Yes.
Going to the hospital?
Yes.
And the Bulls are trying to figure out disciplinary action moving forward. This is occurring on the first day of the NBA's regular season.
Adrian Wojnarowski was reporting on
now it. Now of ESPN.
Now of ESPN. Sources. Portis and Nikola Mirotić were getting verbal, physical, and then it escalated into punches. Portis connected. Mirotić stayed down for several minutes.
So if you're Fred Hoiberg, and I feel like this is the 28th time that I've posited this theoretical question, you could find a time machine. Would you go back to Ames, Iowa, and remain the head coach of the Cyclones? I think we all agree that the answer is yes. That poll, by the way, that Kyle continues to reference on the Big Board updates is not an official Big Ten media poll. It's unofficial. It's done every year by the Columbus Post-Dispatch, and they had two unanimous first-team All-Big Ten players this year among the media that participated, Miles Bridges and Ethan Happ, not to be confused with Ian Happ, who's not in the lineup tonight for the Cubs. Moritz Wagner, Nate Mason, and Bryant McIntosh rounding out the unofficial first-team All-Big Ten selections. The Big Ten will have its media day on Thursday in New York City this year. Kind of a little bit of a nod to Rutgers and that move east. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of people there. Remember last year when they held it in Washington, D.C., and we talked with, it wasn't Mike Carman.
It was Nathan Baird.
It was Nathan Baird. I knew it was one of our Purdue writers. The service they made at the hotel basically was questioning why they were there. And, you know,
I was in the producer role at the time. I could not find any national.
Anybody that was going.
to media that was
Big
going.
Ten men's basketball media day.
Or they, local media, for that matter.
They used to do this at a Marriott right by O'Hare Airport in Chicago. Teams would fly in. You did it in the morning. It started at like 8 in the morning, and they were out by 1 in the afternoon. And it was great. Everybody loved it. And, of course, now this being 2017, we've got to make sure that Washington, D.C. and New York know that they're in the Big Ten footprint, even though I don't necessarily think either one of those cities cares about Big Ten basketball. It'll be here before you know it, though. We got some more audio from Kirk Ferentz and as well as Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa basketball team from yesterday's media day. And tomorrow we're going to spend a little bit more time talking Iowa State and Iowa men's basketball. I promise you, we're just so busy today. And then we've got the Cubs-Dodgers coming up, Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. We'll get a little more into that coming up. It is 6:37, sort of a pregame, if you will, even though first pitch is not set for 8:01 tonight. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Back with more after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My List that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back. It is 6:39, a Tuesday, October 17th edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. Make sure you're listening in tomorrow. We'll have another $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill to hand out to one of you lucky listeners. You can use it at any of their three locations, the one in Marion, the one in downtown Cedar Rapids, or their newest location in the Fountains off Edgewood. Check them out online, lacantina319.com. American League Championship Series continuing. It will not be a shutout in the Bronx. The Yankees are on the board. They trail the Astros 4-1. Chris Devenski now on the mound for the Astros, and he replaces Lance McCullers Jr., who was pretty good today for Houston, who will go up 3-1 if they hang on and win this series. Over in the National League tonight at Wrigley Field, a late start time due to the fact that the ALCS is also taking place today. 8:01, first pitch with Kyle Hendricks on the mound. If you haven't heard, Ben Zobrist will be leading off, followed by Kyle Schwarber in left field. He bats second, and then it's Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo. Both of those guys need to get the bats going tonight. Wilson Contreras remains behind the plate. He bats fifth. Joe Maddon continuing to hope on Wilson Contreras' offense showing up. There are some people that thought maybe Alex Avila would get a start eventually, and maybe we see him in Game 4. John Jay is in center, but not at the top of the lineup tonight. Addison Russell is at short, batting seventh. Jason Hayward is in right, batting eighth, and then Kyle Hendricks will bat ninth. Alex Kuhn, the Dodgers have all the momentum in this series. They've got Yu Darvish, who won his final three regular season starts, and then they only needed five innings out of him against the Arizona Diamondbacks before Dave Roberts went to the bullpen to shut the door on Arizona. Darvish is hot coming into tonight. Do the Cubs finally break into the win column, or do the Dodgers essentially put the Cubs out of their misery one step closer to a sweep tonight? Lay it out there. Be honest with me.
Kyle Hendricks has done a good job.
Good, but not great.
A decent job all postseason of keeping his team in the game. And I don't think the Cubs are going to quit by any means. I don't think that they're going to fold. And I go back to the adage that a team's never out of a series until they lose one at home. I guess I would have to go with the Dodgers and Yu Darvish, but it's pretty difficult to predict these postseason games. And I'm just hoping that with this 8 o'clock start, we see a well played, possibly well pitched game that goes at a pace that isn't what we saw in Game 5 last week. I was all for it on Thursday night, watching that great yet, I'll just say, very entertaining game. But I think tonight, and for Cubs fans, they want to see the pitching staff throw strikes. And that would be a start. The problem is the Dodgers are hot offensively, and their bullpen is pitching very well. And if Yu Darvish gives them five innings, then you think that they are in a very good position to win a game.
I can't get over how good the LA bullpen is, and it really is what's going to cause the Cubs' downfall here, because you don't need anything more than five innings out of the starting pitchers. And when you don't need more than five innings from Clayton Kershaw or Yu Darvish, that tells me all I need to know about LA. And the fact that Corey Seager isn't even on the roster and the Dodgers are up 2-0, this is, I think this is going to be a really entertaining World Series if it does come down to Houston and LA. But I think it also would be an entertaining World Series if it comes down to Houston and the Cubs. And if it's going to even get to that point, they need to reel off some wins while they're at home, and it needs to start tonight with Kyle Hendricks. He cannot leave the game before the seventh inning, in my opinion. If Hendricks is out of the game before the seventh inning tonight, the Cubs are probably losing this ball game. That's where I come down on this. The prospect of Kyle Schwarber in left field makes me really nervous, but the wind, at least earlier today, was blowing out at Wrigley Field, and the flags looked stiff, which means if you can get the ball in the air tonight, chances are it could go far. And this lineup is an interesting mixture of offensive upside and decent defense. Jay is still in there. Hayward is still in there. But you're also rolling the dice a little bit by putting one of your best defensive players, Javier Baez, on the bench. Well, he's 0 for 19. And you don't want to make it 0 for 20, 0 for 21. Now, that's also going to allow you to deploy him at a pivotal pinch hitting situation, or use him in a double switch where then you can put him in late in the game as a defensive replacement if it gets that far. There's no question Wade Davis is rested and ready to go tonight if the Cubs need to use him. I guess that's a good thing. The question is, if it is an early night for Kyle Hendricks and they do have a lead, how do they get to Wade Davis without blowing that lead? Because pickings are pretty slim in that Cubs bullpen. And we've seen teams in the postseason go as far as their bullpens will take them. And this year's version, not quite as good as last year's bullpen. Mike Montgomery has taken a step back, especially here in the postseason, to the point where Brian Dunsing, a guy who basically was up and down from the majors to AAA the last couple years, is a key part of the bullpen at this point. He's actually surpassed Montgomery as far as being that lefty that Joe Maddon trusts. Now, I think they've got a couple guys, Dunsing and Carl Edwards Jr., and maybe, as Ed Creech said, Strope, who they can go to get outs. But I'm leaning heavily on Kyle Hendricks tonight if I'm the Cubs.
Absolutely, and something that you brought up there was the offense and taking Javier Baez out of the lineup. They have to score some runs. If Yu Darvish goes five innings and gives up two or less runs, you're talking about a team that is very difficult to beat. And this is a team that relies heavily on the home run, and they're going to have their guys, their home run hitters, their power guys in the middle of that lineup, whether it's Bryant or Rizzo or Wilson Contreras, to get one. They have to send one. You say the wind's blowing out, you have to take advantage of that. And Kyle Hendricks, the same way, he's a ground ball pitcher, force ground balls, and like you said, go six or seven innings. Because right now, there are two relievers that Joe Maddon is confident in using, maybe two and a half, like you said, Todd. And the starting pitching has not really helped that bullpen recuperate over the first seven games of this postseason. So the offense has to come alive first and foremost, and the Kyle Hendricks has to be great as well. I don't know which one's more important. I think they're both equally important. But I think at times people are talking about the management of the bullpen, the management of the staff, and they're forgetting that this team really hasn't hit so far.
17-17 on the Hurtin and Stocker text line says that the wind is now only blowing out at 5 miles an hour, so it's actually calmed down a little bit, which is unfortunate to hear, in my opinion. But as they point out, better than blowing in at 15 to 20 miles an hour like it was last week when you really had to put a charge into a ball to get it out of the ballpark. So it could be calm and a non-factor by the time that first pitch rolls around. And again, it's 6:48 and we're over an hour away from first pitch. This is, I would call it criminally negligent on the part of Major League Baseball to be starting a game this late. Now, it's not terribly late on the West Coast in L.A., but on the East Coast, a 9 p.m. first pitch and an 8 p.m. first pitch in the Central Time Zone, how are you supposed to get that young generation of fans interested in the game when you're starting postseason games at 8 o'clock at night? That's my question for Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball, and they don't have an answer for it. But it's dictated by TV, and TV says you go a little after 8 o'clock. Don't count on me being worth much tomorrow. I'm going to warn you right now because the last couple games have started an hour earlier and they've finished up close to midnight. This is going to be a long night. Hopefully a long, happy night.
Are they trying to compromise with the West Coast viewers? Is that what they're trying to do, in theory, by starting at 8 o'clock Central Time?
Well, I mean, if you take a look at Yankee Stadium right now, it's 4-2. The Astros are trying to hang on to that lead. They're only in the seventh inning, so that game would not be over at 7 o'clock Central Time, and they don't want the American League and National League Championship Series overlapping. I get that. I really do. But if it comes down to starting a game at 8 o'clock or starting a game at 7 o'clock and overlapping for the final inning or two, maybe you siphon off some viewers from that American League game. Is that any worse than starting the game at 8 o'clock? I don't think so. So I really think they're doing a disservice here, and it's probably not a hill that's worth dying on. I get that, but it's painful to sit here and watch Major League Baseball just sort of slink down that path to further irrelevance with the younger generation, which I think cares more about the NBA and I'd say the NFL, but I don't know what anybody thinks about the NFL nowadays. But the NBA kicks off tonight, and the younger you are, the more likely you are to care about whether or not Golden State repeats as the NBA champion this year, which is our Emil's Hideaway poll question. If you vote at KGYMradio.com, we want to know whether you think Golden State will repeat as champs this year or not. Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. There are front office people in the NBA that say this is almost a given that Golden State's going to walk to another title, but that's why you play the, 82 games over the course
Yes.
of what seems like 12 months, but the NBA does actually take a few months off.
You brought up the NFL. We have breaking news out of the NFL.
Ooh, I love breaking news. What do you got for me?
New York judge grants NFL player union request to temporarily block Zeke Elliott's suspension for domestic violence.
So he's still eligible to play?
He is back off of suspension.
Okay. Aaron Judge, by the way, has gone yard for the Yankees. So the Astros, as we mentioned, a 4-2 lead. And we'll see how that plays out. Houston's either going to be up 3-1 or that's going to become a best-of-three series moving forward. I have no problem. I've said it with Houston becoming America's team, especially given the damage that ravaged that city earlier this year. It would be a tremendous story and a really feel-good, heartwarming story if Houston were to not only get to the World Series but maybe win it this year. The Yankees are not going to go quietly, though. Todd Brommelkamp's show with Alex Kuhn, taking our final break of the night. When we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and then we'll set the table for Wednesday's show. Bad news, by the way, and we'll tell you about it when we return. But if you're a fantasy football player, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer than normal for your fantasy football help this week. Back after this.
These are the $25 Mediacom's taking off the price of its Extreme packages every month for a whole year. That's right. Mediacom's taking $25 a month off its Extreme packages for a whole year. Just show them your current bill from the satellite TV or slow DSL service you've got now. You'll get up to 100 megabit internet with matching Wi-Fi speeds, TiVo DVR, over 230 channels, free on demand, and nationwide calling. Extreme packages with TV, internet, and phone are as low as $24.99 per service a month for 1 year when bundled. Plus, for a limited time, choose a free 1 year bonus, either Showtime or a speed boost up to 200 megabits. Just get out your current provider's bill and call Mediacom at 1-800-SIMPLIFY for details. That's 1-800-SIMPLIFY.
Limited time offer available to qualify new Mediacom customers switching from a competitive TV or HSD service provider. Prices do not include installation, modem rental, activation, taxes, fees, and sports and broadcast surcharges. Internet speeds may vary and a monthly data usage allowance applies. Additional charges and restrictions may apply. Not available in all areas.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
The text line pointing out that split-screen viewing is a real thing nowadays and available through most TV providers. I don't think baseball wants you to be watching two games at one time. And look, it's a problem that is going to continue to persist moving forward. They're not, now, maybe if they expand to 32 teams and do away with the World Series. No. Watch this, by the way, if you're a baseball fan, because I do think it's in the long-term plans of Rob Manfred to get to 32 teams. I don't think anything's going to happen on it anytime soon. We have got to get out of here. We've got to squeeze in another Midwest One Bank Big Board update and then tell you what's on the way for a Wednesday edition of the show. So without any further ado, Kyle is here with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Big Ten preseason media poll. It's an unofficial poll. It was released today, and they think that Iowa's going to finish eighth in the conference behind Maryland, Michigan, and Wisconsin. They pegged Michigan State as the favorite to win the title, led by preseason conference player of the year Miles Bridges, then followed by Purdue, Minnesota, and Northwestern. Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and he said running back James Butler practiced today for the first time since hyperextending his elbow against North Texas last month. He's not going to be ready for this weekend, but he could play soon, likely with an elbow brace. Iowa State head basketball coach Steve Prohm also spoke today at Iowa State's media day. He says this year's team has different strengths than in years past, and they may do more cutting and driving as opposed to shooting. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were posted for the final week of the regular season, and Iowa City West now sits atop Class 4A, unseating West Des Moines Dowling, who'd held the spot all year and now sits in second. Cedar Falls is sixth, and Cedar Rapids Prairie sneaks in at 10th. Unbeaten Xavier still reigns in Class 3A, and Solon is third. Mount Vernon is third in Class 2A, and Mount Williamsburg sixth. And in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina still lurks at third. Tonight after the show, we're going to have Game 3 from Chicago. Yu Darvish is going to start for the Dodgers opposite Kyle Hendricks for the Cubs. The game is set to start at 8, but coverage is going to start right after we hop off the air, and you can hear it on all three KGYM frequencies.
All right, coming up on the program tomorrow, normally we would be chatting with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com, but I understand he has been called home to Bristol for meetings tomorrow, so Tristan is going to be with us on Thursday. This week, we will talk with the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, the one and only Gary Rima.
He is going to be in rare form tomorrow.
Good mood Gary after that big road upset by UNI. They win games they're not supposed to. No one knows what to expect out of him this season, but we will get Gary at his finest tomorrow. Anything I'm missing? It's the 6 o'clock showdown.
Brent Bloom as well tomorrow?
Brent Bloom.
Brent Bloom to talk about the Cyclones. It was kind of embarrassing that we didn't talk about them very much today, but it is what it is, and we'll touch base with Brent tomorrow and get his thoughts on Iowa State football as well, coming off a 45-0 win over Kansas, and they head down to Texas Tech this weekend as a 6-point underdog. And just one final reminder, and we'll let you know again tomorrow, we've got tickets to Iowa State's homecoming game next weekend against TCU, courtesy of our friend Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship, and we're going to give those away during the John Walters segment next Monday on the program. So plenty to get to, including another $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill if you tune in with us tomorrow. First pitch still over an hour away at Wrigley Field. Go, Cubs, go. Hopefully we're talking about a Cubs win before Game 4 tomorrow. Thanks for listening.